You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 24th of March, 2017, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As always, I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and a new documentary which he's going to be talking about tonight, Mr. Dennis Wise. How are you doing today, Dennis?
I'm fine, Sven, thanks. Looking forward to tonight. There's quite a bit to cover, to be honest.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be really interesting. We've got quite a few subjects that we're going to be diving into. First off, we've got a bit of British news here about Alison Chablow, the comedic singer that sings songs, pokes fun at the Chosenites. She's had a lot of success with her performance at the London Forum, and she's got a wonderful voice, really good music, really talented young musician. And since she's produced this song, two songs in particular, Survivors and Nemo's Anti-Semitic Universe, the Jews have been after her. We've talked about this before. They tried to get the police to go after her. The police found that she had nothing to answer to. So because of that, they decided to take out a private prosecution against her. Now, she's had one appearance at court, and there was supposed to be another appearance today, and the trial has been adjourned. It's been adjourned until June the 23rd. And the reason for that is because one of the charges, which is sending grossly offensive communications, this is her song Survivors, which she sent last June. And she sent this song to YouTube from Switzerland. So because it was sent from Switzerland, there seems to be some legal arguments, something that they need to check. So they're delaying it until June the 23rd. Now, they've got another charge against her, sending another grossly offensive song, Nemo's Anti-Semitic Universe. And a third charge is the same as two, which is sending a grossly offensive Nemo's Anti-Semitic Universe song shared by the London Forum. And this third charge, they're saying it's the same as the first charge, which is the song Survivors, but because it was sent by the London Forum channel. It's all a little bit strange, but basically it looks like the third charge is just there to cover them if they can't prosecute her because she sent it from Switzerland. It's all very bizarre because this has been sent to YouTube, and it obviously hasn't broken any of YouTube's guidelines because it's still up there. So I don't really understand how they can say it's grossly offensive or malicious communication if it's completely legit by YouTube standards. She's also got, there's a judge there, a pro-Israel member of the judges, Judge Arbuthnot, has recused herself in favour of another district judge called John Zaney. And Zaney is apparently a Hebrew name meaning gift from God. So it looks like she's got a Jewish judge that's going to be judging her. And the accusation is that she has poked fun at Jews. Basically, she's tried to apply for unconditional bail. Why they would want to put conditions on her, I don't know. I mean, this is a comedian, basically, and they're putting all these conditions on her that you would normally use against violent criminals or terrorists. And she says at the end of this message, she says, to top off today's depressingly predictable result, police turned up at my parents' house this morning asking for the charger for my laptop. Ergo, my laptop has been sitting unopened since last November. The cybercrime unit counts persons capable of cracking any password and able to decipher multiple layers of deleted files, but they can't find a charger. No wonder our country is in such a state. I think that sums it all up, really. I mean, they've had this laptop for, what, 4 months, 5 months. She's been unable to access her own work on there in all that time. And it's just been doing nothing because they couldn't find a charger. What sort of a police force is this? A, that goes around carrying out private prosecutions for the Jews and taking people's laptops and acting as if they are security for the Jews, and two, that can't even access a laptop, can't go to a shop and buy a charger, work out what charger the laptop requires. So we wish her all the very best, and hopefully people got this message before the actual court case today, that people were going there to support her, and the next one will be June the 23rd. So any of our listeners that are around London nearer the time, we'll say again, and hopefully people can go there and support her. But this is just one of many cases that we hear of at Radio Aryan of nationalists being silenced. And most of the time, it seems to be by this one organisation, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, which is supposedly a charity, but it's not actually helping anyone. All it does is hound nationalists and try to silence them through using the courts. They've obviously got lots of lawyers on their team. They've got hundreds of thousands of pounds, probably millions of pounds in donations. They talk to the government. They boast about talking to Theresa May and about having an influence on the new definition of anti-Semitism. So they're obviously a parallel government, really, a parallel force that affects our government, changes our legislation, and uses a hammer to crack a walnut, really. And going after comedians, going after Jez Turner, going after young people that have done nothing more than criticise the Jews on the streets while protesting is disgusting, really. I mean, we thought we had free speech here in Britain, but it's obvious that we don't. And we need to tell as many people possible that we don't have free speech in Britain any longer. And I just count us lucky, myself and you included, Dennis. We choose to be anonymous, but these brave, courageous people that put their names and their faces out there, we really do need to support them, especially when they get harassed like this by the Jews.
I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to comment on this, Dennis, before we move on to your subject.
Well, I can say my own thoughts on it are the fact that they just couldn't be bothered to get a charger to actually fire up the laptop means that they're not really taken as serious as a terrorist, and rightly so. So at the end of the day, I think it's just a hounding is the word of somebody who just made some jovial songs. It's really getting crazy. But, you know, I think the police have got more pressing things on the mind than something like this, but the force are supposed to do it.
Yeah, I think that shows you it, doesn't it, really, that they haven't found the charger. It shows you that that's how much interest they actually have in doing this. They're just being forced to do it. And it reminds me of the case that's happening over in America at the moment with the tweet that was sent. It was just a flashing tweet, and the guy that sent it to a Jew is now being charged with, I think, trying to kill him by sending this tweet, because he said that he was epileptic and a flashing light could have killed him. So this tweet has been turned into an assassin's instrument, and all the forces of the FBI were collected together to go after this poor, unfortunate Gentile who happened to make this joke at the Jews' expense. But it just shows you this inordinate amount of power that the Jewish people have over the forces of law and order in white Western countries, really, doesn't it?
Well, to be honest, you know yourself, it all goes back to World War II, even before. But since World War II, you know, even though it's been a Jewish vindictive campaign, it's actually also a communist vindictive campaign, because after World War II, obviously, the two ideologies of National Socialism and Communism, whichever one would have won, would have wiped each other out. And so the remnants of National Socialism, which is people like ourselves and this lady who's just making fun songs of Israel, suffer the wrath of this Jewish communist vindictive attempt to wipe us out, if not imprison us all.
Well, this new definition of anti-Semitism, they can accuse anyone of being anti-Semitic. That's the whole point of the wording, because they say, oh, not everybody could know that people are being anti-Semitic. They might be using code words, or they might be pretending to be supportive of Israel when really they're not being supportive of them. So it really could mean absolutely anything at all, just so long as it's a Jew that says, oh, it's anti-Semitic. then the police have got to go along with the Jews' definition of it. And exactly. It doesn't matter how you prove it. And it just couldn't really be more obvious, could it, that it's the Jews that are running everything?
Well, it's like in the case of the Holocaust cases, the truth is no defence. So what they're trying to do is trying to block every single avenue off, which would have been available to certain people, and therefore there's no chance of escape. Once you're up in court, you're going to face a sentence, and that's the way victors rule.
I say the truth is no defence, but the truth will still set you free. And I believe you have produced a new trailer for your new documentary series for Truth Will Out.
Yeah, it's been a while coming, but I finally got the inspiration. It's just uploaded tonight. And it's basically... The title of the documentary is The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II, which many people are totally unaware of. They're totally unaware of how the Christian forces of Britain and of America were deceived, although I have mentioned it in a couple of the parts of New World Order Communism by the back door. But I just wanted to make a more upfront, more information kind of documentary explaining World War II and the Masonic victory. But not only that, we go back in time to see the communist revolutions which are taking place in the Soviet Union, in Spain, in Germany, various other parts, because the Masonic, many people might not know, but the Freemasons is actually a culture of communism. And all will be proven and provided with sources. And once you understand this particular, the Western Masonic leaders and the communists who they funded from the East, won World War II, everything opens up then to what's going on today and the reason why the EU is what it is and the United Nations is what it is, and the fact that there's no real such thing as democracy, because Bush is no different to Clinton or Obama, as they both have, they're both neocons, they're both communist Trotsky followers, and everything just becomes plainly obvious then. But until you can understand this, then everything's a big puzzle.
So the new series is going to concentrate on Masonic intrigue more than the other series, is that right?
Yeah, I would say so, but it's also going to cover other parts as well, because even for instance the jailing of Ernst Undel and these other people, vicious sentences, you know, all comes under the same flag, if you like.
Like totalitarianism, isn't it? When the certain things you can't discuss, you can't talk about, and if you do, then they'll come down on you like a ton of bricks, and they'll give you years inside just for saying the wrong thing or poking fun at the wrong person.
Exactly what we've just been talking about this lady and what she's got facing her.
Yeah, so it's a perfect example of it. So you're going to be looking at the Spanish Civil War then, and what happened there in this series.
Yeah, that's right. Because this just to briefly, like, was the war which was taking place. It was a communist takeover of Spain, there was obviously volunteers both from the communist side, from 500 I think went from Glasgow alone to fight for the communists. And obviously in Italy, there was a Mussolini supporters went over there to fight, volunteers from Germany. But Hitler himself sent over the Luftwaffe to help Franco back from over in Africa where his army was stranded. And once he got Franco back, you know, obviously that was a major turning point in the Civil War. And also the Luftwaffe helped, you know, to bomb some of these cities which the communists had taken. And it's something which is overlooked. I mean, the communists in Spain did send out a cry of help to Britain, a Masonic country, and to France, a Masonic country. But they weren't ready for it. And so Spain was saved. And Franco, I'm sure, was was more than happy with Hitler's contribution. So all this is kind of swept under the carpet. Previous to that, we had the attempted communist, the Spartacus uprising in Germany, which was another attempted communist revolution. The successful one was the Soviet one. So all this all plays a part in World War II, and it's something what I think a lot of people, you know, will find interesting.
Well, I don't know much about the Spanish one myself. It doesn't sound very much like a civil war to me. It doesn't sound very much like it was just the Spaniards that were involved. You've listed off a lot of different countries there that were involved in it. Almost sounds like the Syrian civil war today, which again involves lots of different countries, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. I mean, I've said in past broadcasts, I see no difference in the Bolshevik Revolution than in the Iraq and the Libya and the attempted Syria. It's just new rebels, you know, being funded by the capitalists, and the Bolsheviks were funded by Wall Street, and nothing's changed.
Well, this is the sort of thing that E. Micah Jones looks into, isn't it? That he's exposed with his book, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, tracing back all these revolutions and this Jewish hand that was involved in them. And then you get to, mm-hmm. I think it's the 16th, 17th century, and then you get Freemasonry in England, and you get the Jews involved with Freemasonry and with the Protestant Revolution. And then through the Masonry, that was how they engineered the French Revolution, and continuing on from there with Spartacus and the Illuminati and the Bolshevik Revolution. And he traces it all the way back to these Jews that were in Jerusalem at the time when the Romans pulled down the temple. And then after that is when we really start seeing this Jewish revolutionary spirit. I believe there was another one that took place soon after that, that ended up getting them kicked out of the area for good. And then there were a few more that went on. And this is, you know, in the first 1,000 years after Christ, because normally you hear about the French Revolution and the Bolshevik Revolution, but you don't really think about them happening in Roman times and in the time of the Byzantine Empire. But they were doing the same thing back then. And I think what they did, they hit upon this idea of manipulating the goyim to riot and to tear things down. And they really perfected that when they set up the Freemasons and the Masonic Secret Society, because then they could use them to go into other countries and start revolutions in countries that didn't really have that many Jews in, or weren't the country where the base of operations were, because you had Freemasonry, which was all throughout Europe, basically, within a century
or so. Secret Society, yeah. Secret Society all throughout Europe, with over 5 million members today, and it's like a fifth column, if you like, for, you know, this New World Order. Hitler knew it, Franco knew it, Mussolini knew it, but unfortunately, not too much has been said about it, so hopefully we can throw some light on it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a chap that wrote the book about the Bolshevik one, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, or Under the Sign of Hermes. He's given a speech at the London Forum, and he also made a film. Yeah, that's the one, Jurilina. He's done a lot of research into it, hasn't he? And just how much involved the Masons were with the Bolshevik Revolution. So you've traced their involvement with the Spanish Civil War as well, then?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt that they were involved in it. They were involved in the French, Spanish. And you know something? It may be worthwhile sometimes investigating the English Revolution, because whatever revolution has been going around, they've been involved somewhere. And like you know, when Cromwell came eventually to power, he did let them back in again. So there's some grounds for investigation even there.
Well, they had over here in Britain. They had what they called the Glorious Revolution. They would call it that, wouldn't they? But I don't think there was that much violence involved in that. And then they exported it to France in the form of the French Revolution, which had lots of violence in it and killing off the aristocracy and the Catholics. And all the while that on the face of it, the British people seem to be condemning the French Revolution, it was actually these English Freemasons that were involved in getting it going and starting it up. And that was also the start of the intelligence services as well at that time. John Dee, I think.
Amazing,
isn't it? A court magician.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you look at what's been going on with Trump. They've never established that Trump was actually being watched and listened to. Nothing changes. It's ongoing.
Well, there's a crossover, isn't there, between the intelligence services, the secret police, and the Freemasons, and the Jews. And you'll find that a Jew is also a Freemason and works for the secret police. Or you end up with secret police that are also all members of the Freemasons. And these networks that the Rothschilds bankers and those other Jewish bankers used to find out their information on what was going on so that they could make all their money on the stock exchange. This was how they would communicate. Before they had telephones and the internet, these networks, Masonic networks, would communicate from one country to another. And with that information, these bankers could make all their money. So they're all tied up in this together. The secret services, the Masons, the bankers, the Jews. And I guess they all come under the heading of the deep state now. And that's what's fighting against Trump.
Yeah, well, they're very clever at what they do because... obviously, most Freemasons are unaware, because even though it's a secret society, they have this element that are really unaware of what it is. They just think it's some kind of form of advancing themselves with, you know, business contacts. And so, you know, there's a kind of air of they can't be that bad, but it's actually a secret society. It's a secret society in numerous countries around the world, but it's secret for a reason. And then when you get so far up in the status of it, then you begin to, you know, be revealed just what it's all about. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very crafty. It's been around a long time. Hitler knew about it. I mean, there's a piece in New World Order, Comments by the Back Door, where it actually says that if he had ever invaded Britain, he did have a list of Masonic places to close down, and he would have done just like he did in Germany and just like he did in the rest of Europe. And for a long time, many people were claiming that Hitler was a Freemason, which was something which I had to wait to prove, and eventually I did too. And this is just another advancement on that, because I don't think that many people associate Freemasonry with World War II, to be honest.
Well, outside of conspiracy circles, it does have an air of respectability. You know, it's supposed to be a charity that looks after widows and orphans, and they're supposed to do good works. And people who, good businessmen, I mean, most businessmen are involved in the Masons in some way. They're all linked up with that. And that's how they talk to the people that are higher up in business and higher up in the banks, and they get talking to them and hobnobbing with them, and then they can progress further in the business world. There's a lot of that that's involved with it as well. And that's not so much the really illegal side of it. The illegal side of it comes in where these people have taken these vows not to be a witness against anyone else that's in the Masons. So they have their funny handshake and they can't say anything about what so-and-so's been involved in. And when you get that with the police and these high crimes that go on, these elites that get involved in these crimes, if the police were investigating them, they've just got to stop, haven't they? Because of their vows.
That's always been the case, and the door's shut. Always has shut at a certain point. They may sacrifice one or two beneath them, but the elites themselves, you don't usually find out any more about them until after they've died. Funny enough, in the States, Freemasonry had a problem. A guy called Morgan, who was a Freemason, wrote a book and revealed the secrets. You know, now you're mentioning these blood oaths. And apparently he went missing after he wrote his book, and there was a lot of speculation. But one of the Freemasons who was involved, I think there was three, but one of them on his deathbed admitted to the fact that he had been killed. He'd been taken out to a lake and tied with weights around his feet and legs, and he drowned. And what happened after that was there's a backlash in America about Freemasonry, and it nearly went out of existence. Only the Civil War really where it became popular again, or just after that, you know, with Albert Pike, etc., that it picked up again. And then again, they threw in the Shriners, who have this, you know, they're supposed to be a charity who help children in hospitals, etc. But even that is found out to be a scam. So, but they're back where they were before. And in fact, they're even back more powerful than ever because, as you know, Roosevelt, Truman, no doubt Stalin, and one or two others, Attlee even, who followed Churchill. Churchill was a Freemason. All these people were Freemasons. And even the Skull and Bones is another branch of Freemasonry. And Bush came out a while back, saying Bush Senior, and he once said, he said that if the population really found out about what we've been up to, they'd drag us out in the street and hang us. And the documentary, no doubt, will tell you why.
Well, I was just about to ask you about these spin-off groups, the Skull and Bones and the Shriners. What's all that about then, all these different secret societies? Is it all based on the same thing originally, based on Freemasonry?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it all goes back to the Kabbalah and the Jewish involvement at the very beginning. You've got the Illuminati is another branch. In fact, the whole list societies that Hitler closed down, you can see the different ones. You know, you've got Crowley's, you've got the Illuminati itself, you've got various other ones, Skull and Bones, all these, which all come under the same umbrella. They're all secret. They're all, should I say, occult orientated. And, you know, to me, it's just natural. But obviously, when people are informed about certain things about Freemasonry, they're unaware of it, and they just think it's an organization, you know, which is doing fine, then obviously it's one of the biggest hidden secrets of all, what they are involved in.
So most people tend to think that it's a benign organization. So they're like different brands of the same product then, all these different...
Yeah, that's right. I mean, few people know that B'nai B'rith attempted to overthrow...
That's the Jewish one, isn't it?
That's the Jewish one based in France normally. And I think it's got Canadian shoot-offs. But they were behind the Bolshevik Revolution. They tried a couple of years before they actually succeeded. They actually funded it along with Wall Street. So B'nai B'rith, you know, Freemasonry was involved inside the Soviet Union as well in the Russian Revolution. So all that, you know, I mean, ties up to a Jewish Masonic revolution, which, again, not many people are aware of, because you watch these documentaries on YouTube, and it's the people rising, where, as I've said many times, communism is not for the masses to rid the elite, it's for the elite to control the masses, and that was proven in communism by the back door.
Well, that B'nai B'rith, I mean, they are openly involved in a lot. They work with the law enforcement agencies in America. I'm not sure everyone knows that they are a secret society, the Jewish version of the Freemasons, because they seem to be one of the more open ones. And you rarely hear of people working with the Freemasons. You hear of the Freemasons, you see their lodges, the outside of them, but you don't hear very much about them.
The temples, actually, because they changed the name to take that fact away that it is a religion, because they are, in America, religions, you know, they're giving tax exemptions, and Freemasonry is given a tax exemption because they are a religion, but they changed it from temple to lodge to fool people again. Sorry, well, I interrupted you.
That's fine. Well, they must have done that after the war then, because I noticed that they were referring to them as temples. Hitler was referring to them as temples.
That's
right. They were referred to as temples back then. So is that something that changed after the war? Is that something that changed in America first? Or do you know much about that?
Well, I'm not sure when it changed altogether, but I dare say once the decision had been made, it was worldwide automatically, because it all moves, you know, as one, if you like.
Well, what did Franco do then after the Spanish Civil War? What did he do with the Freemasons' temples? Did he remove all of them?
Yeah, any Freemason in Spain caught after the Civil War was given a minimum of a 10-year sentence.
Because they knew that it was a parallel form of government.
It was a secret society plotting to bring down the government.
Did he expose the Jews as well? Were they exposing the Jews and their role in things in Spain?
Well, I'm sure he did. But the problem he had was that coming off the back of a civil war, and then with the outbreak of World War II, he was in no real position to really throw any aid their way. He did say once over that if Germany did have enough weapons, which they hadn't at the time, you know, he said that, you know, they would have been able to get some more over to. But I think it was 50,000 volunteers what went into the Soviet Union with the Germans and the other Axis countries. So it was very much aware of what Hitler was battling against, but in a way it kind of saved him, because if he had joined in, no doubt if they had lost World War II, he would have been overthrown a lot earlier than the 1970s when he died. So, and this is why, of course, why, you know, a lot of the German, higher ranking Germans all escaped to Spain, because, you know, he was very sympathetic and nationalist.
So Spain wasn't really powerful enough to start evicting the Jews, whereas Germany was powerful enough. They'd had their economic revolution. They were 10 years advanced on the rest of the world with their technology. They were very wealthy with their new banking system. So they were able to afford to do that. Whereas Franco had already been through a war by the time that he took power, I guess. Obviously, the Germans had been there for a few years first, hadn't they?
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, I dare say he obviously with him, you know, chasing up Freemasons and communists, there would have been Jews in all that. So, I mean, you know, that wouldn't have been a problem for him, because, you know, them three go together. But, you know, anything other than that, I don't think he could possibly do, because of the, obviously he's got to rebuild his country again.
And what was the banking system like then, like under Franco? Did he abolish usury and follow the National Socialist banking system, or what did he do there?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'd have to look into that. That's a good question. But I would imagine, you know, he would have been looking to use that, getting rid of that debt financial system. If he didn't.
I was just thinking all these different brands of fascism. Someone left a comment last week saying National Socialism is not fascism, and that's correct. It wasn't Italian fascism. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fascism that Mussolini came up with. But all these right-wing nationalist ideologies that are all about the nation and pulling together as the nation, that is the fascists, isn't it? You're so much stronger when you're all together rather than just one stick on its own. You bind all the sticks together and you can make the axe handle and then you can break the log. So National Socialism and Franco's brand of fascism and Mussolini's fascism and Kodriano's nationalist movement, I see them all as different brands of fascism.
Yeah, I mean, somebody once said to me, like, how can you tell that it's not fascist in America? Because I've always said it's not fascism, it's communism. And they said, how can you tell? And one of the easiest ways of telling it is the fact that, you know, when you see a country which is getting rid of God or Christianity, you know, that's not fascism. Fascism embraced religion. Certainly in Germany and in Spain and in Italy, you know, there wasn't a problem. But in these communist countries, obviously these Masonic run countries, you know, the Soviet Union revolution, so many religious people thrown into the gulags and killed. In Spain, there many nuns and priests were massacred, and same in France in the French Revolution. So, you know, that's a clear sign of seeing who's in charge, and to call it fascist in America isn't true.
Well, I think one of the areas of confusion is with the corporations, and the left will say fascism gave power to the corporations and the corporations were in charge, but those corporations weren't there to make as much profit as possible out of the people. The corporations were there so that everyone within a certain trade and in a certain area were working towards what was the best for the nation, not working to make the most profit for that company, for that corporation. It was a whole different concept of what the corporation was. So when they say that fascism gives power to these corporations, people that hear that today think it means gives a lot of power to multinational corporations to make as much money as they can from the people, when it was the complete opposite of that. So I think some of the confusion comes from the corporations.
Yeah, I mean, in 1929, every Christian Western country was turned into a corporation. And that's one of the reasons, you know, there was furious at Germany when Hitler wasn't having anything of it and kicked him out. And if you, like I said, I may have mentioned this before, that even Australia today, if you go on the internet now and look up Australia, Australia is a corporation which has an address in Washington.
Well, that's just it. It's a different corporation to what Mussolini was talking about. That the way they've turned the countries into corporations, that's to make as much profit as possible.
Bypass laws as well, because obviously laws in America, like the First and Second Amendment, can be bypassed because of it's not America no more. It's American Incorporated, which is a different entity, and so you know people should be worried about that because you know whenever the time comes they can just bypass these laws.
So when people today see that the corporations have control, the multinational corporations fund people like Hillary Clinton and they make the laws and have a say in all the laws, and when they hear that Mussolini gave power to the corporations, they think that, well, that must be the same thing. So multinational corporations, and this must be fascism what we're under now. And it was a complete opposite. If you can imagine...
It's the same in Iraq, isn't it? I mean, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the 100 laws in Iraq, which was left behind when the Americans were supposed to have left. But it gives all the corporations all tax exemptions and they can just go in there and do as they please. And they don't even have to adhere to Iraqi rules. So this is the same in Germany, to be quite frank. So, you know, people are deceived by all this. And for instance, a prime example where somebody would be puzzled is George Bush a couple of weeks ago, who was responsible for going over to Iraq and killing Muslims and bombing Baghdad and therefore leading the way for Libya and everything else, actually came out about 2 weeks ago and said that the Muslims should be let into America. Now, I'm sure some people are shaking their heads and thinking, why he said that? Because George Bush is looked on as this great evil to Muslims. But the simple fact is that Freemasonry, as we know, and its root, wants to wipe out the white race. And he's a member of Skull and Bones. And he went over to sent his troops over to Iraq, stole all the oil for his Masonic friends back in the US and back in London. And then at the same time, when Trump's trying to stop people coming in, he's saying, let these Muslims in. It's only fair, because he wants them in that country to carry on the Kudinov Kalergi Freemason attempt to wipe out the white race. And when you understand where they're coming from, it's quite obvious. But if you don't, you're going to look at it and think, why is he saying that?
I just want to blend white people with brown people and rule over the top of us, I think, really, and have a people with no identity, no common sense of community, and control them. I think this is one of the reasons why Islam has so much success, because people can see that. They can see what's going on, and the non-whites, the ones that feel that isn't right, then they gravitate towards Islam. And I see Islam being causing quite a few problems for the New World Order, unexpected problems.
Well, I mean, I don't think, you know, they were unaware of it. I mean, let's put it this way: their long-term aim is to wipe out all religion and just have their one Luciferian. And so they're just using Muslims, just like they use homosexuals, just like they use feminism. It's just a weapon just to destroy whoever they want to destroy, which unfortunately is us. But once we're have been seen to, if that ever does happen, then obviously they're next, or, you know, the feminists are next, or the homosexuals are next. And these people just don't seem to realise it, that they're being manoeuvred and manipulated, think they're friends, but really it's a sharp lesson. And even the Bushes I mean, I'm not convinced there's no Jew in them, but if there is no Jew in them, then even they're not safe, because what does the Talmud say? Even the best of the Goyim should die.
Well, I was just thinking there as well about these Freemasonic groups, that they allow in Muslims, don't they? They'll allow in people from any religion. I think they've even
That's
got
the Shriners.
Black lodges as well in America. I think the Negroes really were fascinated by this Freemasonry. They really liked the dressing up and all the mumbo jumbo side of it. So they would get the blacks involved as well. And the whole idea of Freemasonry is all brotherhood, isn't it? We're all one. We're all one humanity. We can all interbreed with one another. Homosexuality is fine. It's all about giving in to your pleasures and raising man up as a god instead of God being God. Instead of having a creator that's above man, they say just worship man instead.
Well, that fez that the Shriners wear, I don't know if you've ever seen that photograph of Truman, where they have that Islamic sword on the front and the moon and the star on the front of the fez. I don't know if you've seen that or not. Well, that fez celebrates a massacre by Muslims over Christians back in the Middle Ages. So that should tell you something.
I think the people that are involved in these secret societies, they have a fascination with the Middle East and the Jewish side of it, and the Muslim side of it, don't they? They seem to have.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Wanting to rebuild Solomon's temple and all this sort of thing. They seem to have, you have a lot of people, I think, that start off as Christians, and they misunderstand the Christian teachings, and they misunderstand the Bible and the Old Testament, and they end up with a fascination with today's Jews, thinking that they're closer to God by obeying the Jews. That's the problem that these Protestants had. That's why they brought the Jews back into the country in the first place, and these Freemasons were fascinated by the Jews and all their magical mumbo-jumbo, when Christianity, if they'd stuck to it, they would have had nothing to do with them. And it's even now moved further into Islam, and you've got this almost worship for the Sufi and the mystical side of Islam that's involved in it as well. All these mystical Middle Eastern mumbo jumbo religions that Christianity was saying no, reject all of that. There is only one God, one true God, and His Christ. And yet the Masons hijack that.
And he's hated in the Talmud. The problem is with the Christian thing at the moment is I can be arguing with somebody, say on YouTube, and saying this, that, and the other about Christianity, but I don't know if he's really talking to me about, you know, this the Zionist Christians, because the Zionist Christians in America are not Christians at all, in my eyes. How they've been called Christians, I'll never know. You know, they're certainly not the European Christian culture that I'm talking about.
I think when you look into that, I think what you can say is somebody who's a Christian, if they adhere to Christian law, they adhere to biblical principles. So they're against homosexuality, they're against usury, they're against race mixing, they're against the Jew. If that applies, then it doesn't matter if they're Eastern Orthodox, if they're Catholic, or if they're Baptist, or Christian identity, any kind of Christianity. If they're going along with the principles of Christianity and the biblical law, then they're a Christian in my eyes.
Well, the thing with the Catholic Church is that, again, I'm going to show how it was infiltrated after World War II with the Vatican II. And so today you're looking at, I mean, once over the Catholic Church, if you were to be a Freemason, you got kicked out. But now it's totally accepted since the 1960s. The popes, what have been elected, are mainly all Freemasons. And look, we see Francis today shouting from the rooftops of the New World Order rhetoric. And that's why, again, it's all under this Masonic umbrella.
Well, Catholicism used to be a real bulwark against Freemasonry, and yet popes have spoken about it and warned against the danger of Freemasonry, and there was a real war against them up until last century.
God is their devil, yeah.
And with the advent of that Vatican II, where all religions are the same, they all lead to God, it was a sort of turning Christianity on its head, really. up to that point, there was one true God and one true way to God and the Bible, and that's the Word of God. And now suddenly we have Abrahamic religions. We have two other religions, yeah. Brother religions to Christianity. They were the enemy before. The Jews killed Christ, and the Muslims were invading Europe.
You've got two actual religions in my eyes, and that's the Babylonian and the Christian, and they've been at war for 2,000 years at least. And at this moment in time, the Catholic Church is taken over by Freemasons, and you know, so they're going to praise homosexuality, they're going to praise all these other religions, and that's been going on since the 60s.
I think that's a very good way to define it, Dennis. You know, you've got the Christian religion and the Babylonian ones. And the Babylonian ones can include Freemasonry, Islam, New Age, Judaism, modernism, humanism. They can all be traced back to Babylon, can't they? It's Babylonian ideas. And the Jews with their Talmud, that idea came from Babylon. The Jews helped to create Islam, so it was their influence in that. All of this goes back to Babylon and the First World Empire. Yeah, Freemasonry, the secret societies. They claim that they go back to there.
I think the name was the Mysterious Force was the original name until they actually came up with the name Freemasons. But if you look at all the Babylonian teachings and of, you know, obviously race mixing, homosexuality, all this, you know, no God, all this kind of carry on. Look at Hollywood. It's exactly that. And that's all run by Freemasonry. And look at the music industry. It's all run by Freemasonry. And they're, you know, people like Jay-Z and Beyonce and all them spout this new world order rhetoric, just like the Pope does. It's a huge umbrella, and it's because it's secret, obviously people aren't aware.
They're all a part of the Babylon system, aren't they? The Whore of Babylon in the Book of Revelations. It talks about the merchants and the kings and everyone is all a part of this Babylon system. And if you look at what it talks about Babylon in the Old Testament, I mean, the first real mention of it is the Tower of Babel, and that's a multicultural empire. That's all the different nations and races all together under one empire being ruled by Nimrod, and that was when all the languages were split up to stop them all intermingling together. So that shows you that is what God is against, all the nations coming together and being multicultural. That's the opposite of the way that things should be, and he did all he could to stop that from happening. And all these religions, these new Babylonian religions, they all promote that idea, mixing together of the races and all the depravity that went on in Babylon.
That's right. I mean, you know, it can be simplified. It's complicated until you can obviously break it all down. And once you break it all down and you realize that these occult societies are all the same, they've all got this Luciferian doctrine. They all think that man can be God and have been at war with the other side, which obviously is Christianity, for 2,000 years minimum.
They appeal to the passions and lust and instinctual behaviour rather than self-discipline and self-control. It's all about giving to your desires. Take what you can now. And back then they used to have temple prostitutes, which is the equivalent of what we have today, I guess, really. Temple prostitutes and the women would have to go to the temple once in their lives and prostitute themselves and sleep with wherever. And any unwanted children that would be born, they would be sacrificed. They found these jars with all these babies in them that were sacrificed to these gods and goddesses. And the same thing today with abortion, free sex and just kill the babies. It's the same thing. It's a human sacrifice.
The same thing. Yeah,
goes all the way back to this Babylonian idea, Babylon.
And just like it goes back to the grove over there. Escapes the mind at the moment.
Bohemian Grove,
where they meet once a year.
Well, I think a lot of these things like that, they have a lot of theatrics and a lot of pantomime style to it. You don't know how serious it is, but the idea of it, the idea of the secret society and the imagery used goes back to this. Goes back to Babylon and the human sacrifice ideals and these gods and goddesses that they had back then. They used the same imagery. Even the owl is part of it. That great big owl that they have there.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's all to do with the Antichrist as well. There's a certain element in that where there's a saying which all Freemasons and occult members know. It's, "Seek ye the grave of Hiram, who has carried my will to him to the tomb. This eternal quest is yours until you have found your builder. No more shall I speak until you have found and raised my beloved son, and you have listened to the words of my messenger, and with him as your guide have finished the temple I shall then inhabit." This is talking about, obviously, the Temple of Solomon, which Israel want to rebuild. And it's all about the Antichrist and all these people, they're all involved in it, whether it's Hiram or Blith or whether it's even Nimrod himself. They're hoping that somebody's going to come and they're going to present somebody to us as the great saviour, and we're all going to be fooled and follow, and a lot of people's going to suffer.
I think that idea, the Hiram of Biff and building the Temple of Solomon, I think that probably is more likely to go back to King Herod's temple. Because you had the temple that was built by Solomon, and then it was rebuilt again
by Herod. And he called it Herod's temple. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, the second one was you had Zerubbabel's temple, and then you had Herod's temple, which was a complete rebuild. And it was Herod's temple that was destroyed. It was his one that was destroyed. So if you look back at in the Old Testament at the time of Solomon. And the time of the Israelites and the Hebrews, and they were serving God, and that was God's temple. So I don't see that it could have had anything to do with the Freemasons. And when you look at Herod was responsible for the massacre of the innocents, chopping off John the Baptist's head. He was a slave to his passions. He
killing really the first perverted, child.
Yeah, really perverted, immoral man. And I could believe the temple that he built would have had all this occult significance and wickedness involved in it, whose descendants would be the Masons today, whose spiritual descendants would be these Masons following all these rites that they have. Do they claim? I think they do claim something to do with Herod as well, don't they?
The Masons? I think they do, yeah. I did a piece on communism by the back door, which shows the Masonic. I mean, Israel is a Masonic state. There's no doubt about it. The Rothschilds total control that place, and so there's a lot of Freemason imagery all over Israel and outside the temples, etc. And of course, it goes back to the Omaha Memorial as well, where he's got that's a Freemason memorial with the eye of Lucifer looking over the pyramid, looking over the Christian graves of the American soldiers and British soldiers, which were killed at Omaha. So it's a big umbrella, then it really is. But it's I don't think anybody's gone in this direction before. Maybe they have. I don't know. But the more I see of it, the more it needs telling.
Well, I think we have talked some about Herod and his involvement with Freemasonry before in one of our podcasts. And I was just thinking, because the Freemasons supposedly grew out of the Templars, didn't they? The Templars. The Templars were looking for Solomon. The Templars were supposedly worshipping a head, a severed head. And of course, you got Herod, who chopped off John the Baptist's head. So that head would have been a very important ritual object. So you got Herod chopping off John the Baptist's head, you've got the Templars worshipping the head, and then you've got the Freemasons that grew out
the
of
the mysterious
the
force. Was, yeah, was used to meet in Herod's temple.
So you've got more of a link with that than claiming to go back to these God-fearing Israelites and King David and Solomon. Solomon's temple wasn't his own, was it? It was God's temple that Solomon built. Herod's temple was, I think, was a temple that he built, and that's why God destroyed it.
Well, I think they claim that Solomon said to lose his mind. I mean, he was the wise king, weren't he? But I think they claim that he said to lose his mind and got involved with raising demons and all this kind of carry on. Whether it's true or not, I couldn't tell you. I think that's where that one comes from. But for sure, Herod was involved in the basis of Freemasonry with the secret, the secret force.
Yeah, I think Solomon had over 900 different wives. Which obviously shows that he had wandered off the path somewhat, and these strange wives that he had led him off into the worship of strange gods. And then he put some of them inside the temple, I think, and that was the cause of the downfall.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Things are coming back to me from what I've heard, but you're probably a bit more clued up than what I am on that particular point.
I think we have to be careful with it as well, because the Jews put out a lot of stuff about Solomon. They talk about it in the Talmud and in other areas. And a lot of when people are talking about Solomon, they're actually referring to that rather than to referring to what's actually in the Old Testament. I think it's important that we stick with especially with the Old Testament. If we're talking about Old Testament stuff, we have to stick with what the Bible says and nothing that the Jews have had to say since. Just today, to do with this terrorist killing, they had the multi-faith council on the BBC. And they were saying about the Book of Psalms. They were saying, oh, the Book of Psalms, we all share between us. No, we don't. The Book of Psalms isn't in the Talmud. It's not even in their version of the Torah that they have. The Book of Psalms is Christian. And yet there he was.
It just seemed really Rowan weird, Watson, didn't it? I don't know what you thought.
No, it's just, leading people astray. Leading people astray.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the Jews.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it and I just thought, what's going on? Really, really weird.
Well, I'm not sure if there was a Masonic involvement in this guy going crazy and driving, mowing people down and jumping out with a knife. But you can be certain that some of the police that were involved would have been Freemasons. Most of the politicians would have been Freemasons, and a lot of the people involved,
the top ones, all of the
top positions are filled with them. I think it's worse with the police. They got the highest proportion of Freemasons in the police than anywhere else.
Well, that's a problem when it comes to the paedophilia cases, isn't it? Because they've sworn a blood oath not to reveal their fellow Freemasons. So, that's obviously, it comes under the same umbrella.
That's why people like Jimmy Savile get off, and so many of them, we don't actually find out about it until after they've actually died. And when the police, you do get police that investigate things like the Jersey Children's Home, they get taken off the case.
Yeah,
by these higher up cops.
Yes, that's why I made up a story about the bones that were originally found to be human and are now animals.
I think this is the reason why a lot of people become Freemasons, because they think that they won't get any higher in promotion unless they're also a member of this secret club, because it's only people that are in the secret club, the secret society,
which is true, yeah,
that get the high posts.
Which is exactly true. So if you're not in the club, as the great comedian over in America once said, we ain't in it, so we're left outside.
We have our own.
She's so undemocratic, you wouldn't believe.
Right, so we have our own parallel society here. It is not secret, and you get into it on merit, and we look up to people on merit, not how high they are in some secret society or other. Anyway, Dennis, we're coming to the end of the podcast. Do you want to let people know where they can find your new trailer and what it's called?
Well, it's just come up tonight on the Dennis Wise YouTube channel. Hopefully people will enjoy it for what it is, and I'll start work on it. We'll probably go through the same process of what we always have done, 15-minute, episodes. Hopefully not 6 hours, but hey, who knows?
You never know once you get started. Anyway, I look forward to seeing that later on, and I look forward to seeing the new series, Dennis. Thank you very much for coming on once again. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back here at the normal time next week. We will be back to 8 p.m. for British listeners instead of 7 p.m. We were at 7 p.m. today because the American clocks are slightly different to the British ones at the moment. They're on their summertime and we aren't yet, but we'll be on summertime from Sunday. So we'll be back to 8 p.m. for British listeners next Friday. We look forward to seeing you then and we hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.